Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "And walk in love." But then he adds, "Just as Christ also loved you." But for our purposes today, I want us to focus on these words: "And gave himself up for us. An offering and a," notice the next word, "sacrifice. To God as a fragrant aroma." The very first words of this verse set before us one of the greatest Christian duties, and we could even say duty of the law. Christ said, "Love is the fulfilling of the law." But this verse also sets before us, very importantly, the motivation to comply with that duty. That's an essential ingredient to Christian life: motivation. What motivates me to get up in the morning and go to work? It's the paycheck. It's perhaps the joy of doing your work. "Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Motivation, all capital letter. In his epistles, the Apostle Paul frequently deals with the love of Christ. In fact, some 22 years after his personal encounter with that saving love of Christ, in this very same epistle of Ephesians, he describes the love of Christ in these words. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 18. "That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God." Have you ever thought of the love of Christ as having breadth? Have you thought of the love of Christ as having length? Have you thought of the love of Christ as having height? What does that mean? What do those dimensions mean? I think one of the things it means is this: that there is no kind of person that has lived or will ever live who cannot be saved by God's efficacious power. No sin that has ever been committed that cannot be forgiven. I think that's what it means, among many other things. Through the love of Christ, that love motivated was inherently in our Lord and Savior's purpose to give himself. How? For an offering. And a sacrifice Well, I want us to consider this morning, as Christ also loves you. I want us to also consider this matter of offering and particularly sacrifice. As Christ also loved you. Love is one of the attributes of God. John in his epistle tells us God is love. Infinite love, eternal love. Christ is described as the brightness of his Father's glory in Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance and brightness of his glory, the exact expression of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let me just put that down in some very concise words. Christ is the manifestation of his Father's glorious attributes. Now do you get the connection? God is love. What is that personal manifestation of that attribute of love? Christ.
Amen.
Christ. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Dear ones, God's love has always eternally been the same. No ups and downs, no fluctuations, no hot and cold. And that is the love that Christ reveals to us. Early on in creation, many of God's attributes were revealed in creation. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. My wife and I used to often come in our meal time. We might be eating some very nice, beautiful fruit. And you look at that fruit, and then you begin to think, how many different kinds of fruit did God create? Their color, their texture, their taste, their usefulness. Do you see God's power, God's wisdom in that little plum? It's there. It's manifest. But what about the attribute of God's love? It's revealed in Christ. Revealed in Christ. How do we know that Christ loves us? How do you know that? Number one, because of the covenant of redemption. Have you ever heard of the covenant of redemption? You've heard of the old covenant and the new covenant and the covenants made in the Old Testament. And have you ever heard of the covenant of redemption? Let me just put it out there briefly for you. According to Ephesians chapter 1, in eternity past, God chose those whom he would save, but he chose them in Christ. In other words, the Father determined whom he would save and gave those individuals to Christ, Christ agreeing to do what it would take to save them, covenant of redemption. What does that reveal to you? Christ's love. Reaching all the way back into eternity. And if you begin this afternoon, go home and trace your salvation back as far as you can, where will you end? Oh, it was this guy who witnessed. No. No. All the way back before the creation of the world. Question. Does Christ love you? How do you know that he loves you? Number one, because of the covenant of redemption. Turn with me, if you will, to John 6 and verse 38. And our Lord says, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And he goes on to say, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." Do you not see that Christ, engaging in this conversation, is revealing to us and to all who come to see this that as he stood there, he was consciously aware of the covenant of redemption. He knew that God had determined a people in eternity past. And that there was an agreement between him and the Father as to what that would mean ultimately to carry out their salvation. And dear ones, you can write over the top of that in big capital letters, L-O-V-E. Love. Love. Wait a minute. What's that a word? Eternal love. It's not only eternal, it's a condescending love. First we said that it was sacrificial. Now we're saying that it's condescending. I'm going to use a rather extreme illustration. Perhaps you have some concern, maybe in the for the sake of my illustration, an affection for this worm. But you can't communicate with that worm unless you become a worm. You see what I mean by condescending? And that one word captures the all the involvement of our Lord leaving heaven, leaving glory, and becoming a man. Dear ones, it was sacrificial love. It was condescending love. Well, what happens in the incarnation? We have Christ condescending to us. What greater do you know what happens when we get saved? A lot happens, but one thing that happens is that we become members of His body. Have you ever thought about that very much? Let's look at some verses. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Listen to these words. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. And I ask you the question. What greater, more intimate union could there possibly be than that our very bodies are the members of Christ? That'll give you something to think about all afternoon. Think of the love of Christ. Think of the love of Christ in His being willing to be so intimately joined to His people. Sacrificial love, condescending love. I would say we've got a lot to think about this afternoon as we come to the table. But there's more. There's more. Christ's love for His people is evidenced by what He has given to His people. He has given us exceeding great mercies. Listen to this. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. Bears our burden. You see, Here's a good point to remember. Because of Christ's manifest love to his people, saving us, bearing our burdens, and the list goes on. But here's a point I want to make for you. As God's people, we can be sure that whatever circumstances we are in, it is for our best. Boy, that should put things in the right perspective. Because so often we are under the circumstances, and we're controlled by the circumstances, and circumstances affect us negatively. Do we believe that God is working all things after the counsel of his own will? Is that true? Well, that puts things in a different perspective, doesn't it? You see, what's happening to me is not just happenchance. It's carefully programmed and guarded and directed by God, my Creator, by Christ, my Redeemer. And again, that's because of Christ's love for us. Well, we're told no good thing will he withhold from his people. Christ's love is seen in his sufferings for us. And one of the things that should captivate our minds and hearts, even as we partake of the elements today, he suffered for me. What does he suffer? Well, his love causes Christ to suffer many things, even which are caused by his own people. Every sin committed grieves Christ, yet he is patient and long-suffering with us. Think about that as you take the elements. May it cause us to hate sin. Why? Because sin, if it could, would advance self and Satan to the throne. It would annihilate God. And many times we're guilty. And yet, provision has been made for us to receive forgiveness through the work of Christ. Well, surely none of us like to see anybody suffer. Over the years of being in the ministry, I've often said in my hospital visits, the thing that grips me and affects me the most is to see a child suffer. I don't know, it's just, it's more awesome, not more than I can take. I don't like to see adults suffer or teenagers. But more than that, it bothers me to see a child suffer. But there's something else that's even worse. And that's to see that somebody is suffering because I caused it. Christ suffers with his people. And he's willing to do so because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He sees our suffering and he enters into those sufferings on our behalf. Well, then Christ suffered for us. What did he suffer for you and me? He suffered all the misery which we deserved. All of it. Because of our sins. Whatever our punishment and judgment our sins deserve, he suffered it on the cross. Does that not spell sacrificial love on our behalf? He gave himself. An offering and a sacrifice because of our sins. Now, I suppose the best way to say it is this. Our Lord met every requirement which was brought about by our sin. I mean, to the nth degree. Paid in full. He became, just as in the Old Testament sacrifices, the sins were laid upon that sacrifice. Payment was made. But that's what happened on the cross. The Lamb of God. I wonder if your people, if we've ever really, really let that sink deep into our hearts. Or is it just knowledge of facts that we're dealing with? I trust that the Holy Spirit will drive these truths home deep, deep into our hearts as we partake of the Lord's table. You see, it's as that takes place that this becomes a means of grace to you. If that's not happening, if you're not engaging into serious meditation between you and God and between Christ and the work of redemption, so that it grips your heart, then this is no more than an empty, vain exercise and not a means of grace. What a privilege we have of this becoming to us in the next few moments a means of grace. You say, Pastor, what do you mean means of grace? I simply mean a means by which God personally ministers grace to your heart, to your soul. It's either going to be a vain, empty exercise, or it's going to be a means of grace. We've preached on Christ's love to help you focus on that as we come to the table. May God help us. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we humbly bow and ask that you would enable us by your Holy Spirit to be able to, from our very soul, our heart, our being, to meditate, to think upon you and upon the work of redemption, the covenant of redemption, your death on the cross, your burial and resurrection. Lord, may this not be an empty routine, but may it truly, truly be a means of grace to strengthen us spiritually, to strengthen our relationship with you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.